afternoon and welcome back to Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. I'm Karen Curtis and I'm here again today as we are each Sunday at noon. Happy Father's Day with attorneys Eric Glazer and Scott Shapiro from Glazer and Associates PA, a law firm practicing community association law throughout Florida. As our listeners know, we're here each week to answer all of your calls and emails about the issues that make life in your condominium or HOA absolutely crazy from one minute to the next. As always, we would love to get the phone lines going early, answering all of your questions. So give us a call right here in our studio, 877-850-8585. Again, that's 877-850-8585. Or if you prefer to email us your questions, you can do so by visiting the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com and clicking on the Email the Show tab.
And, of course, even if you don't want to send us an email, visit the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com where you can listen to all of our past shows. You can sign up for our free seminars. You can see who the show's sponsors are and visit all of their websites. You could link to our Facebook page, which is growing in number of fans. You can link to our brand-new HOA and Condo Law blog. And, again, to check out that blog that Jan Bergman helped put together from CCFJ, just go to www.hoa-condoblog.com. Tomorrow the topic is going to be what kind of new bills we'd like to see on HOA and condo law coming up in the next legislative session. We want your suggestions and your opinions. And, of course, by coming to the show's website, you can join our email list and get copies of our newsletters and other announcements about the show that we send out week after week. And, of course, if you'd like to call our law firm directly and pick our brains off the air, you can call Glazer & Associates at 855-4-CONDO-CRAZE. Again, that's 855-4-CONDO-CRAZE. And you can visit the law firm's website at condo-law.com. Again, that's condo-laws.com. And, again, just to remind everybody, Florida law now provides that if you're a member of a condo board, you got to get certified within 90 days of getting elected to the board. And, in fact, you can even get certified within 1 year of getting elected to the board. And one way of getting certified is by taking the Condo Craze Board Member Certification Course. And, again, this is the first course that was written by an attorney and that was approved by the Florida DBPR.
And it's free. And Eric has now certified over 2,500 Floridians who are now eligible to serve on a Florida condominium board of directors. Why not come see what all the fuss is about?
Yeah, and if your board's actually interested in getting certified at your own condo or maybe coming down to our offices, you can give us a call at 855-4-CONDO-CRAZE and we can make arrangements to do a private course for you guys.
Yeah, and if you'd like to register for the next seminar, which is actually at the PM Expo event in Orlando, August 15th. Again, Orlando, August 15th. Just go to the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com and fill out the form, and Brian, our office manager, will get back to you that you are, in fact, confirmed.
Well, our last show, we spoke about a $1 million parking spot. Where would that be, I wonder? Right. New York?
Yes.
A decision by the Florida Supreme Court that really favored insurance companies, imagine that, at the start of the hurricane season. And we spent a bunch of time talking about the fact that unit owners and condos and HOAs have a right to amend their governing documents to accomplish almost anything they want, like no smoking in your own house.
Exactly. A lot of controversy on that topic in this week's blog, as a matter of fact. But again, like you said, Karen, first let me wish all of our fathers who are listening out there a happy, healthy, and wonderful Father's Day. And thank you for tuning in on this Father's Day. And yes, last week was definitely chock full of information, Karen. And lots of people even follow up on the blog, like I said, with just how far owners can go in amending their documents. Some people think that, well, maybe you just give up too much when you move into a condominium. You expect you're going to be allowed to do something, and all of a sudden those rights can be taken away from you because the unit owners get to amend those documents. And a lot of people were actually against that, believe it or not. But this week, though, we have a great guest on the show, Randy Johnson, who's running as a Republican for the Florida House of Representatives in District 55, which encompasses parts of Hillsborough and Pinellas County. And Randy has promised really to make helping the millions of us who live in community associations throughout Florida really his priority. And a little bit of background on Randy. He was raised in a military family in Central Florida. He graduated from the University of Florida in 1981 with a BA in economics. I will not hold that against him. Of course, me and Scott are Canes. After graduation, Randy entered the Navy, where he served as an officer and a carrier pilot for 9 years. And check this out, he flew over 200 missions aboard the United States aircraft carriers, the U.S. Saratoga, the Theodore Roosevelt, and the Independence. And after all this service to his country, Randy served as a director of staff for the Orange County Board of County Commissioners, and then for 12 years as CEO of a regional economic development organization. And in 1998, Randy moved his family to Osceola County and successfully ran for and was elected to the Florida House of Representatives. He served four times, actually, in the Florida House, and upon his departure was considered one of the most conservative members of the House.
Geez, why doesn't he run for president?
Exactly, for governor. During his tenure in the Florida legislature, Representative Johnson was the only sitting member of either house to initiate a change in Florida's constitution by requiring a financial impact statement be required on all new constitutional proposals. And that change has been credited really for saving the taxpayers of Florida many billions of dollars. He's credited with the statewide passage of a strong consumer protection law in response to organized crime's infiltration of the moving and storage industry. And with all that said, if that isn't a mouthful, welcome, Randy, to our show this morning. And thank you so much for joining us here on Father's Day.
Good morning, Eric. How are you?
Thank you again. Thank you for joining us today. That's quite an impressive resume you got there.
Well, and thank you. The most important thing on the resume was I'm a proud father and just got off the phone with one of my children, and so time got away from me a little bit, but I'm honored to be on your show.
No, thank you very much. Randy, there's no question in my mind, really the worst problem that Florida has faced over the last few years, and of course it's something we talk about on the show, needless to say, week in and week out, has been the housing and foreclosure crisis. I mean, it's devastated a lot of people that live in our state. And the Floridians that really suffered most as a result are those members who live in community associations and the ones that are actually paying their condo dues and paying their HOA dues each month, while some in their community pay nothing and the banks just go on dragging their feet and dragging their feet through the foreclosure system. You know, would you agree that this calamity in our housing market really needs to be more of a priority for the Florida legislature this coming legislative session?
But there's no question about it. Now, there was a report that came out that last week that the assets of Florida's families have dropped by over 40% in the past 5 years. Yeah. Much of that has to do with the value of housing, and I'm sure a reasonable percentage goes to those families who've lost their homes.
Sure.
Because of these kind of inequalities.
Yeah, everybody thought they had some equity in their home and they borrowed against it, and the housing crisis collapsed. Now the house is worth less, but they still have a big mortgage or second mortgage that they got to pay back.
That's exactly right. And in many communities, as I walk communities, I see many homes that are abandoned, unfortunately. The yards aren't kept up. The banks, in some cases, dragging their feet on disposing of the properties or dealing with them, or perhaps even encouraging those people who've paid their mortgages for many years and just are caught up in a tough recession, not working with them. And, of course, it's dragging everybody down.
Yeah, as a matter of fact.
You add on to that the layer of homeowner association trials and tribulations that we're watching happen that in many cases seem extremely unfair and unreasonable, and you've got an attack on Florida's family's single largest, most important asset that will, you know, provide a retirement and guarantee their future.
Absolutely, and Scott and Karen can tell you, we had on the show a couple of weeks ago Lori Parrish, who was the property appraiser for Broward County. And she said exactly what you were saying, that the banks are actually creating a bigger problem because after they foreclose and take back the properties, they're not taking care of them. And she'd actually like to see some of the local authorities actually become even a little bit more aggressive, perhaps, and make the banks upkeep properties that they're foreclosing on, you know, paint it, mow the lawn, so that the communities don't look like they're falling into complete disrepair as well.
That's exactly right. It's all adding to that downward spiral. And, of course, there are many things going on, but the question is, what can we do as Floridians to begin to turn the corner? You know, so goes the housing market, goes this economy. That's
sure.
Always the way it's been in Florida. And so it ought to be the number one priority of the Florida legislature this year. You know, when you look at everything from 30,000 feet, you see Europe in disarray. You see the Asian economy beginning to slip. 11 countries in Europe are now solidly in recession. Our largest trading partner for America. So, unfortunately, it looks like we could be slipping back into another recession. We're certainly not in a good place. That's a given. And so what happens next in the legislature is really key. And the focus ought to be protecting consumers, protecting homeowners, in my opinion.
Okay. Along those lines, as you know, banks in Florida got caught really in a massive robo-signing scandal. I mean, again, my opinion is I honestly can't believe that nobody from the banks actually perhaps faced criminal charges overall. The thousands and thousands and thousands of false fraudulent documents that were filed in our court system. And as a result, the foreclosure process in Florida really came to a grinding halt. As we spoke about, the bank stopped foreclosing, and the houses and the condos remained in limbo for years and years on end. And all the while, again, associations were the ones that were getting hit the hardest, and our community associations are losing money each and every month. And I've always argued on the show that despite, again, this absolute reprehensible and even criminal conduct on behalf of the banks, really members on both sides of the aisle have been reluctant in Florida to take any action against the banks and won't pass any legislation that, let's say, would require banks to pay more to community associations when they take a property back after a foreclosure sale. Would you support any legislation that kind of makes banks more financially responsible to community associations? Maybe make them pay more, raise the cap from 1% to 2%, or make them pay the assessments once they actually file their complaint in court. Something has to be done, Randy, with all due respect, to get the banks to do more and pay more of the fair share to community association members.
Well, the robo-signing issue is such a shameful way to conduct business. And when you add to that the issue of a securitization of loans as they've been passed from one place to another, a family perhaps slips on their mortgage and it becomes a non-performing mortgage. That mortgage gets sold for pennies on the dollar, and now the new owner of your mortgage owns that mortgage for pennies on the dollar. And it's useful to them to actually move the owner out and resell the home so that they can make a profit, even on a short sale. This has happened over and over again. When you add to that the protections that were built into Florida laws, I mean, this is not an assault on our banks by any stretch of the imagination. And certainly our regional banks, our local banks, are part of the solution, in my opinion, and not part of the problem, our credit unions. But what has happened is that because of the system, it's become profitable to actually move people out of their homes. And so you've got this fail-safe built into the system where a homeowner can get in front of a judge, make his case, which is, I think, vitally important. That's where the playing field is supposed to be level. And if you're not paying for your house and you're not performing and you're not going to get there, then we all understand we have an obligation to pay our bills. Well, the banks have that same obligation. If they're going to force somebody out of their house for whatever reason, they ought to go through a reasonable judicial process that's there to protect everybody and make sure that there's fair play. With the robo signing, basically what that has done is tilt the balance of power against the homeowner, against consumers.
No two ways about it. They got caught with their hands in the cookie jar, and when they got caught, they said, you know what, we're just not going to do anything for the foreseeable future. We're going to put all these thousands of cases on hold. Who suffered? The members and community associations suffered. So what I'm suggesting is now it is time to level the playing field, and the least the Florida legislature can do, make the banks pay a little bit more when they foreclose on a home and take back the property so that the Florida homeowners who've been paying the bills all along in community associations get a little bit back. That's what I'm suggesting we do.
Well, it has created a huge lag time, and you couple that with the banks really coming very slowly around to loan modifications, didn't like that, and then now it seems like the flavor of the day is short sales, and
right.
And they do like that, and in many cases, it's because of the profitability factor.
Randy,
in other
let's
cases,
do this.
It's just
yeah.
good business.
Let's do this, Randy. Let's take our first break. Again, it's about that time. Taking your calls for Mr. Johnson, 877-850-8585. Again, 877-850-8585. We'd certainly like to hear from our listeners out there as to what kind of legislation they'd like to see get passed, and we certainly have the right guest on the show to give your thoughts to. Again, 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
Back to Condo Craze and HOAs here on Big Talk 850. I'm Karen Curtis with attorneys Eric Glazer and Scott Shapiro from Glazer and Associates. Taking your phone calls for Randy Johnson running for the Florida House of Representatives, 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. And by the way, if you have a product or service that would be beneficial to our listeners and want to be a guest on the show, attend our monthly seminars where you'll meet hundreds of different associations, be listed on the show's website, have a commercial spot during each week's show, you can become a sponsor of the show. Just visit the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com and send us a quick email.
All right. I think we have our first call today for Mr. Johnson, and it's from Mike in Pembroke Pines. How are you, Mike?
Thank you very much. I've got actually two ideas that maybe through legislation we can achieve some goals, you know, with the goal being to raise values of properties, specifically in condos and places that have associations. They're very hard to get loans in any condo these days, because so many times the association has enough people that are not paying that no bank wants to loan, even on a 20% conventional loan. It's just very, very hard to find communities that at the end are not going to bite you in the rear end and not be able to close on because the association's unstable.
Well, that's true.
So
it's oftentimes
ways to give the banks basically some assurances that the association is more stable than they think it is, or stable enough, because the guidelines are very stringent. And then on single family homes or properties that have been rehabbed and flipped, right now, because there was such a drive up in values artificially before, investors are having a hard time selling a property that they have rehabbed and gotten ready for a loan. You know, maybe a property in a community that had a roof problem couldn't sell with a loan, so they had sold for way less in value. They put money in it and made money, and they have capped the profitability and things like that. And we need those investors to turn these properties over and then be able to help the association as well. And, you know, obviously I'm involved with this as a realtor, right, but this is what I'm seeing on the front lines.
Well, again, Randy, before you answer the question, I guess what I'm hearing from Mike is that the banks kind of have all the money. They certainly, you know, control the purse strings. But because of a lot of regulations that perhaps should have been put in place before the crisis hit, they're pretty tight with those purse strings now. It's absolutely, I can tell you, Mike is correct. It's oftentimes now difficult to get a loan to buy a condo, especially if your condo has a delinquency rate of like 20-25% or more. And just in general, it's difficult for people to now qualify for a mortgage because they might have gone through a foreclosure previously. So, again, bank is sitting on all this bailout money. What are we going to do to allow them to free up more money so that people can actually buy again and perhaps restart the market?
Well, Mike's got a great view of the earth, and I couldn't agree with him more. But it's one part of the cycle that's broken. But let's remember history. The banks, the big banks, were the ones who bundled all these bad loans, securitized them, sold them on the market, and then went short on them to make money on the other side, some of these banks, to make a profit. So they made a profit selling them to somebody, and then they made a profit on the values of those millions of,
yep,
of mortgages bundled together that were poorly contrived. People couldn't afford them, and then got in line for TARP money when things got tough, took billions and billions of dollars from the taxpayers, and now won't give loans out. So, by the way, on top of that, won't keep the properties up or pay the management fees that are required. So you know, there's real dysfunction going on here.
Yeah, I...
And the whole cycle is basically, in my opinion, caused by greed. And it's absolutely something that we have to address. We have to encourage banks to give loans. Until somebody can get a loan, our economy is not going to get any better. And the value of everything goes way down, because we all know if you've got to pay cash for something, it's going to seriously distress the value of the property and, of course, everybody else's that's around it. That's what our friend Mike the Realtor is pointing out. And so re-engaging, reinforcing the housing market, getting banks back in the business of loaning money is going to do wonders for our economy. Getting the housing market restarted, there's an enormous backlog of demand for housing. People have wanted to move for the last 5 years and couldn't go anywhere because they couldn't sell their house and move on to the next one. The housing stock has aged 5 years without any new product online. So there's this wonderful pent-up demand. So if we can figure out how to do what Mike is suggesting, it's going to do wonderful things for the construction industry and for the development industry in Florida.
Yeah. Mike, thank you very much for that call. And I got to tell you, Randy, it's quite frankly refreshing on this show to actually hear somebody who's been in the Florida legislature or is running for the Florida legislature actually say that they're looking for the banks to do more, because in all candor, we certainly have not gotten that cooperation, at least not yet, from the Florida legislature. We're certainly looking for more in that regard. We'd like to see them go after the banks. We're actually begging for it on the show week in and week out. But I hear the music playing, so it's time to take our bottom of the hour break. Taking your calls for Randy Johnson, candidate for Florida House of Representatives, 877-850-8585. Again, 877-850-8585. Call in with your ideas for some legislation in this upcoming legislative session. We'll be back right after this.
Welcome back to the second half hour of Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL Big Talk 850. I'm Karen Curtis with attorneys Eric Glazer and Scott Shapiro from Glazer and Associates. We are taking your phone calls for Randy Johnson, who's running for the Florida House of Representatives. The number to call is 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. He's a big proponent for changing what we've got going on with condos and HOAs and the Florida law.
Yeah, it'd be great to have a friend in the Florida House. And along those lines, Randy, this week, Chief Circuit Judge Jennifer Bailey here in Miami-Dade County, she entered a really interesting order that required the banks now to move their cases along or face dismissal, and this applies to about 1,800 cases that have kind of been sitting stagnant for a while. You know, as we know, the number of open cases keeps increasing, and all this is happening at a time when funding by the Florida legislature to our court system keeps shrinking. You know, we've had even Sharon Bach, the clerk of the court for Palm Beach County, on the show about 2-3 weeks ago, who, you know, made it pretty clear that the Florida court systems are going to be in big trouble if there's going to continue to be a fight between the legislature and the court system as to properly funding the court system. So I ask you, you know, what's your take on funding to Florida's court system? And I always took the position that unless the court has the ability to turn these foreclosure cases around and dry them up, that's going to take a toll and continue to take a toll on our economy.
Well, Eric, we clearly have to support the court system. Government is trying to do more with less, and quite frankly, I'm very supportive of that, but there are some essential services that need to continue, and obviously the court system is at the top of the heap. I'm more concerned about having to play a little defense here, because what I see a movement afoot for is to actually change Florida's laws where these kinds of issues don't even get into court.
Are we talking about non-judicial foreclosure?
That's right. And that hugely concerns me on behalf of consumers and taxpayers and associations and management teams for condos. That is not a good thing. That would be a horrible thing not to have your day in court.
Right, sure.
And ultimately what we're talking about is what it means to be an American and the rights that you have, you know, literally from our founding fathers are being chipped away and abrogated. And I'm hopeful that we can go on the offense, Eric, in the legislature. My guess is that we're going to have to play some defense too, because there's certainly a move afoot to create another state for judicial being removed from the judicial process. And if you think about it, that's just absolutely outrageous. We see how the banks are conducting themselves
right.
When a judge is watching. Imagine what they're going to do when they're not.
I think you absolutely said it right. How can we trust a non-judicial foreclosure system when you're right? When a judge is actually watching what the banks are doing, they still committed fraud on an absolute massive global basis. So I'm with you, and I think you make a very good point. I know you've spoken with Jan Bergman, who's president of CCFJ, or Cyber Citizens for Justice, about some of the proposals that the Community Association Member Party was proposing and try to have passed this legislative session. And I just wanted to get your take on some of them. Scott, why don't you lead us off?
Yeah, Mr. Johnson, if you live in a Florida condominium, if you need assistance in getting questions answered, or if you need to file a complaint, or if a developer is building a new community and needs to file their original documents for approval, the DBPR is there to help out. But in fact, there is even a Florida condominium ombudsman that is appointed by the governor that tries to help out. The DBPR and the ombudsman's office largely help regulate condos, but have no jurisdiction over homeowner associations. Now, time and again on this show, we have members of HOAs begging to be regulated by the department, just like the people in condos. Would you be willing to support a measure that finally places HOAs under the jurisdiction of DBPR?
Yay!
Absolutely, and thanks for the yay, Karen. I appreciate that. But listen, the bottom line is that these associations were created to be an efficient, inexpensive form of government to help manage communities. And so that's wonderful. But if there's no oversight whatsoever, if nobody has to play by a set of rules, then very unfair things happen.
Exactly.
So there has to be regulation. And we're watching those unfair things kind of unfold through, you know, 100 different stories, and it gets to the issue of, the family's castle is their home. It,
sure.
It is the single most important asset that they have, and it makes it is part of the American dream, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you don't own a home, if you're not part of society, then bad things happen.
Yeah. Well,
to own that home is huge.
Sure. We get calls every day from people who have bought into the American dream, or at least they were thinking they were buying into the American dream, when they bought into their HOA community, and, you know, things sometimes go awry in an HOA, and these owners call us and say, listen, the board is doing this wrong or that wrong, and there's no regulation, unlike our condominium brethren down the block. Condos have a problem, they pick up the phone, they can call somebody. Eric,
right.
Scott, Karen, who in the world do we call? There's nobody to call to, and unfortunately, we have to tell them, guess what? Your only way of getting any relief would be to start a very expensive lawsuit that you probably, with all due respect, might not be able to afford. I mean, condo owners have a tremendous advantage over HOA owners in effect that there's this agency that helps them out, where HOA owners don't have that. Now, unfortunately, there's been a line of thinking, and I've got to tell you, quite frankly, coming out of the Republican Party in this state, that thinks if the DBPR's role gets expanded to include HOAs, it's somehow an expansion of government. You know,
no.
I understand, you know, I'm certainly, you know, not somebody that wants to expand government, but sometimes here, when you have an agency that can absolutely be there to assist people, and by the way, it's a self-paying agency. The unit owners would gladly pay $4 per unit, just like they do in condos, to have some guidance, to have some regulation, to have people who can answer a question, to have an ombudsman. It works great in the condo system. Why not take the best of what condos have to offer and drag it over and mirror it in an HOA setting? I know I said a lot there, but quite frankly, this is maybe the number one issue that we get from HOA owners in the state.
And I like that HOA owners come to your seminars, too.
Yeah, even though they're not required.
They don't have to, but they come.
Well, I'll tell you, there's no one more conservative than myself. When I left the Florida legislature in 2006, I was considered the most conservative legislator in the House. But I will, am the first one to say that the primary role of government is to protect the people. That's the primary role.
Right, and HOA members don't have any protection. Sorry to say it.
Well, I mean, what concerns me is, and if there are any members of the media out there listening, hey, how about taking this issue on and getting engaged so that our politicians start to focus? I mean, so concerned about transparency in every other part of government. But there's no transparency requirement, for example, for HOAs.
Absolutely.
There's no recourse for people who have been treated badly. There are people losing their houses every day because of unfair issues. And, of course, because there are no parameters, there are all these crazy rules inside of HOAs that are all well-intended. People are trying to make their communities better. We understand that. But not everybody is equipped to make good decisions. There has to be a set of parameters.
And with all due respect to the Florida Condominium Ombudsman's Office, they, God knows how many calls that they get from HOA owners, and I think we owe them a big thank you, because even though they don't have to, they absolutely try to help out HOA owners and give them some advice to the best of their ability, even though they have no statutory powers over HOAs. But, Randy, I apologize. We've got to just take our final break of the hour. Taking your calls, 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. Again, you have some ideas on condo and HOA legislation, let us know. We'll be back right after this.
Welcome back to the final segment of Condo Craze and HOAs here on Big Talk 850. I'm Karen Curtis with attorneys Eric Glazer and Scott Shapiro from Glazer & Associates. And we are taking your phone calls for Randy Johnson running for the Florida House of Representatives, 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. Republicans saying that we should have the DBPR running HOAs as well.
That's refreshing to see. As a matter of fact, Randy, you've definitely served honorably in the military for many years. I mean, your resume, like we said at the beginning of the show, very impressive. You even, you know, risked your life repeatedly over the concept of democracy. And I'm here to tell you, at least in some Florida HOAs, there's very little democracy. I'm sure you know in a condo how it works. As long as you get 20% of the eligible people to vote, you have a condo election each and every year. It's a fair and square election. But in an HOA, however, if that quorum of unit owners don't show up at the annual meeting, and normally that's like 30%, and if they don't appear in person or by proxy, that same board rolls over year after year after year, and it really disenfranchises people who actually want to get involved in their community but can't because they can't get that quorum to show up at the meeting. And one of the things we've been begging the legislature to do, quite frankly, is, again, for all the things that might be wrong with the condo statute, the one thing they got right is the election process. So, again, why not bring that over to the HOA side and have fairer elections in an HOA, just like the condo side, where if you get 20% of the people to participate, we'll have a new board each and every year. Or may the better man win. At least you'll have an election.
Right. Yeah, well, there's two morals to that story. Number one is if you don't participate in the process and you can't complain about it,
right,
that goes to electing our elected officials as well. And secondly, if it's good for the goose, got to be good for the gander, right? If it's fair, then it's fair. And so I certainly would support that. But,
yeah.
You know, this notion somehow that Republicans are, that we're kind of Pavlovian about rabid about lesser government. Our primary goal in the Republican Party is to put families first and to protect families. So I find it very Republican to do that first. As a Republican in 2004, I offered and passed a bill to regulate the moving and storage industry,
right,
because there were absolutely no regulations on the book whatsoever. And so organized crime had found that, discovered it, and so they were basically in the business of moving, would take people's household goods and then literally hold them hostage, asking double, triple, five times, 10 times the amount to be able to get their things back. We had families moving to Florida for new jobs and empty houses And there was nothing anybody could do about it because there were no laws there to protect consumers. We passed that in an overwhelmingly Republican House and Senate. And so the other point I would make out is the Republican Party are not elected officials. The Republican Party is the people of Florida. And yes, those people own houses. They're part of homeowners associations. So I find it extremely Republican to protect consumers. That's not a hill that we're going to cede over to the other party. And I'd invite other Republicans to join me.
Well, that's great, because I guess perhaps also some of the thinking was the condo unit owners have to pay $4 per unit per year to actually get regulated by the DBPR. And maybe, quite frankly, the Republicans looked at that as maybe some sort of a tax that they were not in favor of. I can tell you, though, how it's been working over the last several years in Florida is that $4 is not going back to condominiums. It's actually going into Florida's general fund and is being used to spend on a lot of things other than condominiums. So quite frankly, if the same thing's going to happen with HOAs, it's a win-win for the state all around. The HOA owners are happy. It's a program that funds itself. It's going to provide more jobs. It's going to give people a bureau to work with. And again, like I said, I think just a win-win. But let's move on to something else that's obviously near and dear to my heart. And as you know, maybe about 2 years ago, the Florida legislature passed a law that requires condo board members to get certified by either signing an affidavit that's basically saying they read their governing documents, or by taking a course where the instructor is allowed to certify them. I don't know if you know, but I was actually the first attorney in Florida that had a course approved by the division, and that allows me to certify Floridians. And now we've taught the course, believe it or not, to over 2,500 people. And I have to tell you, the educational course is so appreciated by everybody that attends. These directors, you know, they're managing associations with huge budgets. They don't have experience on a condo or HOA board. They're not required to be accountants or lawyers. So, you know, why not require HOA board members to get certified as well? We have HOA members coming to the seminars all the time, even though condo law is being taught, because their attitude is, well, at least it's something. If it's anything close to HOAs, we'd love to learn it. It kind of doesn't make sense, in my view, to have condo owners have to get certified, or condo board members have to get certified, but not HOA members. I just don't see the logic in it, and I'd like to get your thoughts on it.
Well, listen, if the people of Florida want a new service provided, then they have to pay a fee. And I don't think anybody would be disturbed about those people who are members of a homeowners association confronting their representatives and saying, hey, we want to pay a fee for the service provided, which is a fee for oversight for homeowners associations. Perhaps it's a fee also for training. There's nobody who goes into leadership. The first thing that happens when you're elected to the Florida House of Representatives is you go into a training program to understand how the process works, understand what the laws are, understand the rules on the floor of the House and how to pass a bill and all those other kind of good things. Look, smart people, people who deserve to lead, everybody needs training. Everybody needs to understand how to conduct business and to do it in a reputable manner.
That's a great point. Even like
I'd
said,
be very
legislators
supportive of that.
Sure, judges start out even before judge takes the bench. They wind up taking a training program. Why, again, these courses, quite frankly, are offered not only, of course, by me, but other attorneys and law firms, and it's always basically all for free. You know, what's the harm in making them attend a two-hour course when they're in charge of budgets that could be several millions of dollars? But in the 2 minutes we have left, Mr. Johnson, anything else that you'd doesn't have to be related to condo or HOAs that you'd like to see get passed this upcoming legislative session? You know, what are your thoughts and priorities?
Well, I tell you that the consumers out there, Florida's families, understand that perhaps they are the only ones in Tallahassee without a lobbyist, and so that lobbyist, their spokesman, has to be their elected officials. And so I would just encourage people to get involved in their local state races. It's very important. A lot of times people don't understand how important it is. And, you know, our conversation today, for example, will probably bring out a whole bunch of institutional money in support of my opponent because I want to support the people. The people have to step up. If you're listening out there, please participate in your processes. Talk to your candidates. Let them know why it's so important to protect consumers. And I certainly could use their help, too. Look me up on electrandyjohnson.com. And help me out. Any amount of money helps to get to where we need to go. And when you support consumers, you don't have the big lobbyist support really required to go talk to a bunch of people. I'm running for office over a 4-county area, so it's enormous. And we definitely need help getting the word out. And so do the people who are in your own community.
Randy,
if you
don't
want
worry
your
about
legislator
it, yeah.
to listen to you. You got to step up.
We will get that word out. Again, that's electrandyjohnson.com. Randy, to say that I'm impressed about the things that you've said and the positions and postures you've taken today, that would be an understatement. It is much appreciated, and we are definitely looking forward to having a friend for HOA members and the Community Association members in the Florida House of Representatives. Again, electrandyjohnson.com. Randy, happy Father's Day, and thanks for joining us. Everybody, thanks for tuning in to Condo Craze and HOAs, and have a great Father's Day. What's left with it? See you next week.